at the South Point Studios Network, streaming network at YouTube. We welcome you to the show. And, of course, all of our other platforms that we have, like our local radio station, Sports Talk 1400 AM, 107.1 FM, for those of you here in town listening, running around town this morning. And, of course, our websites, racedaylasvegas.com, .vegas.world.global, iPhone, Android, with the phone apps, or as we say, the device apps now. Does anybody use it to call up people anymore? Anyhow, with your iPhones and your Androids, you get the KSHP app that you can, of course, listen to our show through the radio, and the YouTube app that you can see and hear us through the YouTube streaming right there on your apps, on your devices, your iPhones, your Androids, and, of course, anywhere you get your podcasting as well. We welcome you to the show as we begin our trek to the Breeders' Cup. A lot of news to happen at the Breeders' Cup. First, I want to set the table for you as far as the listeners and the watchers here of the Race Day and the South Point networks. Okay? Today at 4 p.m. right here where you're watching now on YouTube, the YouTube South Point Studio Streaming Network will feature a Breeders' Cup preview show. It'll be only on the YouTube streaming network. Today at 4 p.m. with our handicappers, our race day handicappers, Jonathan Hardoon and John Lendo, who are at the moment, both of them, in transit, one from Southern California, the other from New York, to be here on set for the studio here at 4 o'clock today for our Breeders' Cup special. We'll also have Chris Andrews, the sports director here at the South Point. We'll have Vinny Mugliello, an odds maker, and, of course, Dwayne Carlucci from the Rampart. They will also be here handicapping because even though they're in the sports side of the equation here, they love horse racing, they play horse racing, and they handicap horse racing. So we'll get their ideas as well. All at 4 o'clock this afternoon right here where you're watching and listening now at the YouTube Streaming Network, the YouTube South Point Streaming Network only. It will not be simulcast on either the radio, the streaming at the websites, or anywhere we do know anywhere where the podcasting is at. So it'll be here. So if you haven't tried us out yet, do your tryout right now. Go to YouTube, hit South Point Studios in the search bar. When you get to that page, you'll click on our icon. You'll see the little race day icon, and then you'll be watching and listening to this show right now here on the YouTube streaming network. And if you subscribe, if you haven't already subscribed and you're a newbie, subscribe. And then you can start chatting away on our chat box, which is going to be really busy, and it's been busy all week. And then we'll be all set for tonight at 4 p.m. Now, that's tonight. When we get to Friday, the first day of the Breeders' Cup of the two-day championship, on Friday, and of course that's the future star day. The two-year-olds will be highlighted on Friday with five Breeders' Cup races on Friday coming from Del Mar. Right after the racing is over at Del Mar, around 6 o'clock, 6 p.m. in the evening on Friday, myself will be hosting the annual South Point Race Day Las Vegas Breeders' Cup seminar in the Grand View Lounge, which is adjacent to the racebook here, the Grand View Lounge. It's a lounge that's set up for entertainment in the evening, but we're going to use it on Friday night at 6 o'clock. So you have a nice little setup to relax and enjoy the seminar between Jonathan Hardoon and John Lendo. We'll be going over a seminar featuring the Saturday races and recapping what happened earlier in that day on Friday. Okay? And that'll happen at 6 o'clock in the Grand View Lounge. And then on Saturday, Breeders' Cup Day, the championship day of racing, what they call the champions of racing, the world championships. On Saturday, there will be a huge, big viewing party in the Grand Ballroom. That's upstairs in the Grand Ballroom with huge banquet tables. You can sit anywhere between 8 and 10 people and have plenty of room to spread out your betting paraphernalia. And, of course, they'll have food and drink specials there. And, of course, a full big bank of live betting windows. You'll have kiosks if you want to bet through kiosks, etc. And we're also going to be giving away prizes. There's going to be a prize giveaway to throughout Saturday in the Grand Ballroom that Saturday. Remember, the Grand Ballroom will be open both on Friday and Saturday, both days, for Breeders' Cup, and the doors open at 9 a.m. Everything I just told you is free. Free, including parking your car here. So come on out and enjoy and celebrate the World Championships with us, because they love horse players here. They know how to do it right. It's the good old-fashioned way of doing business, and it'll be a lot of fun here for the Breeders' Cup. So we're inviting you to come out and join us. I'll be there in the Grand Ballroom along with John Lindo and Jonathan Hardoon. You can come up and say hi and talk about who you like and who we like and all that other good stuff. It'll happen here in the Grand Ballroom. All right? Tonight, 4 p.m. on this network. Friday, right after the first day of races in the Grandview Lounge. And then, of course, Friday and Saturday in the Grand Ballroom. All of that celebrating here on the South Point property for the Breeders' Cup World Thoroughbred Championships. Okay, we got all of that done. Now you know what's going on. And we'll see Jonathan and John here at 4 p.m. today on set here at the South Point Studios. All right, now, the next big thing is the weather. Now, you know, let's face it, Southern California should be perfect all the time at Del Mar, right? Well, that may not be the case. Okay, that may not be the case. Now, first of all, the weather today at Del Mar, and they don't open until tomorrow, but the weather today at Del Mar is overnight 52 degrees, and the high today will be at Del Mar at 68 degrees, partly cloudy with the sun and about a 3% chance of rain. There's a front that's moving down on the west coast, coming down from the northwest, is making its way down through the south. All right, so that's what we got to deal with right now. Tomorrow, opening day Thursday at Del Mar, okay? It'll be 52 degrees overnight. The high tomorrow at Del Mar on opening day will be 69 degrees, and it's going to be perfect. It's going to be sunny, shining, and bright. They say a possible 13% chance of rain. Friday, first of the two-day Breeders' Cup Championships at Del Mar, the day for the Future Star two-year-olds. On Friday, overnight low again, 52, high 67, and they say it'll be sunny and bright and fine on Friday, with now down to 4% chance of rain. But here's what happens. As the day progresses after the races are over, as the day goes into the night and the night moves through to the morning, on Saturday, the big championship day of racing at Del Mar, the weather forecast, overnight low 54, you're going to top out at 66 degrees, and there's a chance of 68% chance of rain on Saturday at Del Mar, 68% chance. It drops to 21% on Sunday with a high of 65, but the damage might be done on Saturday. We are hoping that the time tract of that front that's going to be going through will either accelerate or slow down so we can get through Saturday without any precipitation. But right now, that's what they say, 68% chance of rain on Saturday, Breeders' Cup Day at Del Mar. We will wait and see. Now, they drew for the entries at Del Mar. And we're going to get to that. I'm going to get to that with Rich Eng, who's going to be coming on early. Richie will. And we'll be going over the 14 races of the Breeders' Cup. And there are a couple of late scratches, though, since they took the entries for the Breeders' Cup. And I'm going to give them to you right now. And it happens on Friday, on the day of the Future Stars. The sixth race at Del Mar on Friday is the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. In that race, scratch number one out on bail. Number one out on bail is scratched out of the Breeders' Cup Sprint. You go to the seventh race, the following race. That's the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. In that race, scratch number seven, non-compliant. Now, that was a competitor in that race. Juan Hernandez had the mount there, non-compliant. That'll be scratched in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Our understanding is both horses came up a little bit of gimpy. One had a foot problem. The other one, they said, just the other one, they just said was lame. And so both of those have been scratched. In addition to the earlier scratches we have given out over last week, and of course, whatever horses didn't enter. The official entries are in, official post positions, jockey assignments, and opening odds, morning line odds. And we're going to get to that with Rich Eng in just a little bit. All right. 14 Breeders' Cup races. There were 179 entries. That was one of the highest entries in a long time for Breeders' Cup. 67 of those 179 entries are from other countries, foreign countries outside the United States. And we know that Japan and Europe have a big contingency going on. And we know that the Japanese horses are getting to be better and better every time they show up for these big world events. So we'll get into that a little bit too. As far as anything else is concerned, as we say, Del Mar will start tomorrow. Del Mar meet will start tomorrow. And we'll get to those Breeders' Cup entries in just a moment. A real quick look at what happened on Sunday, to wrap up what happened on Sunday at Aqueduct and at Santa Anita. At Belmont at Aqueduct on Sunday, they had, of course, the Pick Six started out with the Sleepy Hollow. Remember, these were the New York Showcase, the New York bred horses in stakes races. There were seven of those. The first of those stakes races was the third race on the card. It was the Sleepy Hollow. The winner there was Sacrosanct. Manny Franco for Brad Cox paying $2.90, big favorite there. In the fourth race, the Maid of the Mist for two-year-old fillies with the Angels won. Jose Ortiz for Linda Rice, another huge odds-on favorite paying $2.30. So you had two filthy odds-on favorites to begin those two races there. Then in the Empire Distaff, Vente Valentine wins with Ired Ortiz Jr. for Jorge Abreu paying $9.90. In the Iroquois, the winner there was Kara's Time, Dylan Davis for Mitchell Friedman, paying $7.30. In the Hudson, Light Man wins Kendrick Carmosha Board for Bruce Levine, paying $19.20. In the Ticonderoga, Moon Age Daydream, Flavian Pratt's second win of the day, wins that. Jorge Abreu's second win of the day as well. That horse paid $7.30. In the Mohawk, Spirit of St. Louis gets the job done. Manny Franco's second win of the day for Chad Brown, paying $3.20. And then in the centerpiece, the Empire Classic, a mile and a for three-year-olds and up, a huge long shot that goes gate to wire. Mama's Gold went right out to the lead under Romero Mirage and set the pace and never was caught. Went a mile and one-eighth on the lead all the way, paying $82.50 for the upset score for trainer James Ferraro and jockey Romero Mara. It was the longest shot on the board. That created a pick six carryover for when Aqueduct runs tomorrow. Nobody had the six. Five out of six paid $460.50. Late pick five, though, paid $9,527.50. You got a carryover at Belmont at Aqueduct for tomorrow. Santa Anita, closing day. Everything's got to go out the door. So on closing day at Santa Anita, you started out with a $5 winner, then a $7.80 and a $9 winner. But then the fourth race, Smooth Cruisin' with Mr. Gonzalez aboard, paid $45.80, a first-time starter, trained by Karen Headley, running down the 2-5 favorite in the race, Toughness, with Juan Hernandez. So Smooth Cruisin' wins and pays $45.80 in the fourth. In the fifth race, the winner there was What Makes Sammy Run. That was Jonathan Ardoon's selection on the show, $11.20. Thank you very much, Jonathan, for Mark Glatt. Then Juan Hernandez and Bob Baffert came back in the sixth race in a race for two-year-old maiden fillies. They won with Cipriana. Cipriana was just the best in the race, simply put. Paid $2.60. I mean, this was another odds-on horse. Baffert actually finished first and second in that two-year-old maiden race. American Blessing finished second. And with that win, that only win on Sunday for Bob Baffert, he secured the outright trainer title for the meet. The Autumn Stakes was the seventh on the card. Watchtower wins that with Diego Herrera aboard for Richard Baltus. That horse paid $19.80, outrunning Madero, who was the big favorite in the race, and Zona Verde, who finished third. Eighth race winner paid $26.60. The ninth race winner paid $65 even. And the tenth race winner, which was the winner for Diego Piera's second win of the day, and Steve Knapp, paid $15.80. But it was a mandatory payout. It was closing day. Nobody had six. Five out of six chopped all the money up. The fives got $55,394 on the mandatory payoff day. The late pick five paid $32,356 and change. The late pick four paid $20,617.50 there at Santa Anita, closing day on Sunday. As far as Churchill Downs was concerned, Tyler Gaffleone had three wins. He won the fourth race at $5.30. The sixth race for a Brendan Walsh trainee that paid $22.54. And he won the seventh race on a Greg Foley trained horse that paid $13.40. Brian Hernandez, he had three wins on the card. Brian Hernandez won with at $5.44. He also won with a $7.50 winner. And back in the second race, he won and paid $3.82. In the features, remember, this was the day of Stars of the Future, all two-year-olds. They were all two-year-olds, 11 races on Sunday on opening day at Churchill Downs. The Rags to Riches for the two-year-old fillies won by Good Cheer. That was Luis Saez's second win for Brad Cox. Brad Cox was his second win of the day. Good Cheer paid $3.48, outrunning Claire's Charm and Cherubini. And in the street sense for two-year-olds, the winner there was Sovereignty for Junior Alvarado and Belmont, paying $4.86, outrunning Tiztastic and Sandman. That on Sunday, opening day at Churchill Downs. All right. As far as closing day at Santa Anita, Juan Hernandez won his seventh Santa Anita title, 25 winners. That represented a 24% win rate for Juan Hernandez winning the jockey title at Santa Anita. His closest rival was Umberto Rispoli, who had 15 wins. As far as the trainers, as we say, Bob Baffert, with that winner on closing day, had 14 wins for the meet. He became the trainer, winning trainer title, with 32% winners with those 14 wins. Phil D'Amato was second with 13, and this was the first title at Santa Anita for Bob Baffert since 2020, and the Harris Farm won the owner's title. And as far as any of the workouts going on down at Del Mar, as you've been hearing from John Lindo down there, the last week it's been pretty foggy down there. So the morning workouts have been not altered, but they have been kind of hard to clock and all that with all the fog down there at Del Mar. All right, we will have your racing menu coming up next, and then we'll take a look at the Breeders' Cup fields with Rich Eng, and we'll also get you some picks for Churchill Downs as well. So don't go away. We're just starting out on our march to the Breeders' Cup from Las Vegas, Nevada at the South Point. Don't go away.
South Point Casino has plenty of attractions for the whole family. Catch a movie. Our 16-screen movie theater includes two XD Extreme screens for the ultimate in viewing, sound, and luxury. After the show, treat the family to a variety of treats at our old-fashioned ice cream parlor, Kate's Corner. We scoop up a variety of creamy concoctions, including smoothies, hand-dipped cones, milkshakes, malts, sodas, and sundaes. At Kate's, there's something for everyone. And if you've still got time to spare, our bowling center might be right up your alley. Voted best of Las Vegas, it's a great place for friends and family fun. 64 lanes, a pro shop, snack bar, and arcade. And while the kids are bowling, you can play slots and sip on a drink in the Alley Cat Lounge while overlooking the lanes. For our more serious and professional bowlers, the South Point is also home to a separate tournament bowling plaza.
right, back on Race Day Las Vegas. While we wait for Rich Eng, we are definitely going to give you a racing menu in just a moment. But I do want to remind you again that they say, the weatherman now says, it has a 68% chance of rain on Breeders' Cup Saturday at Del Mar. We will wait and see more about that. As far as today, temperatures around the country, Miami 82, New York 65, Chicago 81 today in Chicago, 73 in Los Angeles in the Southern California area. Phoenix has a nice pleasant 74 for a change. And here in Las Vegas, as I say, we're only going to get up to about 67 degrees, 64 to 67 today. 42 degrees it was out in the parking lot when I walked in this morning. So we're getting into the cold weather here, the nice kind of fall weather. Don't forget, if we don't have a lot already on our plate here, come Saturday night into Sunday morning, you got to turn back the clocks. So you'll gain an hour's sleep, and you'll probably need it. I know I will, after all the activity that'll happen between now and Saturday. So Saturday night, before you go to bed, turn back your clocks. Sunday is the winter, you know, the not daylight savings, but the standard time. It'll be happening on Saturday into Sunday. And so far, right now here in Las Vegas, as I say, this is going to be the weather, by the way, in case you're coming up to join us, and please do so. It'll be in the 40s, low 40s, the mid 40s overnight. And in the afternoons, we'll get into the 60s to the high 60s in the afternoon. But as I always say, it's always fast, firm, and perfect here in the race book and at the ballroom here at the South Point. All right. As far as any precipitation around the country is concerned, some activity right in the central part of the country, but most of the racetrack should be in good shape today for racing conditions. Let's go now to your racing menu for today on this Wednesday. As we remind you, first post times are Pacific. We are in the Pacific time zone, and these will be the first post times that roll out in our race books today here in Las Vegas. So if you're in the Pacific time zone anywhere you're at, these will be your post times. If you're listening anywhere else around the world in many different other time zones, then just adjust from the Pacific time zone to whatever one you're in to get it right so you don't miss anything like I miss Mom and Dad, okay? So let's do it on this 30th day of October. Remember, tomorrow also, amongst all the other stuff, tomorrow's Halloween. So we got a really jam-packed week here. All right, first post time for Parks Racing, which is the first track on our menu. It's set at 9:40 this morning. Their pick 5 jackpot carryover, $51,564. Again, $51,564 in a pick 5 carryover today at Parks Racing, and a first post time of 9:40. Then we go to Mahoning Valley Racecourse. Mahoning Valley Racecourse has a regular pick 5. This is not a jackpot. Just a regular pick 5 carryover today at Mahoning Valley Racecourse of $6,028. $6,028 in a regular pick 5 carryover at Mahoning Valley Racecourse. First post time at Mahoning Valley for 8 races set at 9:55. 9:55 at Mahoning. Then we go to Finger Lakes, upstate New York. They have a regular pick 6 carryover there of $5,393. Again, just a regular pick 6 carryover. $5,393. 8 races. First post time is at 10 a.m. Then we go to Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. Day 2 of their fall meeting. Churchill Downs has a first post time today of 10 a.m. 10 a.m. first post to Churchill for their 10-race card. Horseshoe Indianapolis has 10 races, 9 thoroughbreds. The last race will be a quarter horse race. First post time at Horseshoe Indianapolis is set at 11:10. Delta Downs has 8 races. Their first post time at Delta is set at 2:50. 2:50 at Delta. And then next comes Penn National. Now, Penn National has a small carryover today in their Super High 5 jackpot. That stands at $1,820. First post time at Penn National today. 7 races. First post time is at 3:15. And then Charlestown. They've got a pick 6 jackpot carryover, $20,917. Their first post time at Charlestown for 8 races is 4 o'clock. And we wrap it up with Remington Park. 9 races and a first post time of 4:30 at Remington. That's your racing menu for today, Wednesday. Now we're going to bring in Rich Eng. Good morning, Rich.
Hey, good morning, Ralphie. Good morning, viewers. Good morning, listeners.
Well, I know you guys are stacking up and getting ready to get out those Breeders' Cup forms for both Friday and Saturday. And they'll be, of course, under the Western edition of the Daily Racing form. But we took entries on Monday. 14 races now set in stone. Got a couple of late scratches since those races have been drawn. But it looks like a good competitive Breeders' Cup with a couple of races there that I think are going to be really shining some stars of this year.
Oh, I agree with you, Ralph. The thing about the Breeders' Cup, you have 14 horses with full fields. Before I get into a commentary about the depth of the field, the person who's going to be on the square, Ralph, is Jeff Siegel, because this is his first year doing the morning line for the Breeders' Cup. It had been done by John White in previous years when it was held in California, and he had done a really outstanding job. Jeff, if you look at the morning lines he's done, he has done a very, very good job. But he's going to be under the microscope for this, Ralph, so it'll be real interesting to see how his numbers come out on the 2 days.
Yeah, and what I wanted to say quickly is coming up on Friday and Saturday, there's going to be a few racetracks that are going to either set their post times different from what they normally do on Friday and Saturday. So on Friday, of course, tomorrow, Thursday, opening day, Del Mar will have a 12:30 first post time for the Thursday card. On Friday, day one of the Breeders' Cup, Del Mar's first post time will be 11:35. That will not be the first post time for the Breeders' Cup on either day. When they give you the first post times at Del Mar, it's going to be the first post times when the racing card starts, because they're going to be carding a few races in front of the Breeders' Cup races on both days. So on Friday, 11:30 will be the first race post time at Del Mar. On Saturday, the Champions Day, first post time comes early again, and again, there'll be a few races ahead of the Breeders' Cup races. The first post time at Del Mar on Friday will be 11:35, but on Saturday it's going to be at 10:05. 10:05 a.m. will be the first post time for the first race on the Breeders' Cup Saturday card. Not the first Breeders' Cup race, but the first race. In addition to that, Aqueduct, who usually starts at 9:40 on Saturday, they're going to move their first post time earlier. Aqueduct's first post time is going to be at 8:20 on Saturday. This is Saturday now. And Laurel Park on Saturday moves their first post time from the usual 9:25 to 9 a.m. At Laurel Park. Mahoning Valley will start earlier as well. They'll be at 9:05. These are all Pacific times. And the only other track that will vary from their usual start times on Saturday is the Pleasanton Racing. Pleasanton, that usually gets off at 12:30. They will start again at 12:30. So they're going to stay at 12:30 at Pleasanton. All the other racetracks that have their normal post times, normally during the week and the weekends, whatever they are, will stay the same. Now we take a look at some of the Breeders' Cup races, Richie, and all I can say is that I think that Friday is going to be more of a challenging card for handicappers for Breeders' Cup, obviously, than Saturday, because they're two-year-olds. All of them are two-year-olds. And when you get to the two-year-olds, the Philly turf and the juvenile turf, both races that are on turf course for two-year-olds, it's going to be almost like a crapshoot, really. When you look at the eighth race on Friday, which is the Breeders' Cup Phillies turf for two-year-old Phillies, 17 are entered. Of course, the eligibles are only going to get in if there's scratches. But out of all of the morning line, you're talking about Jeff Siegel's morning line, out of all of the morning line on that eighth race, that race, the Phillies turf, there's a 5-2 shot. That's Thought Process with Mr. Berrios, Hector Berrios aboard. And the favorite at 8-5 is Lake Victoria with Ryan Moore aboard, the European invader. All the other horses in the race have a morning line of over 10-1, all of them. The next low price there are two 15-1 shots. You can see that's going to be a crapshoot unless Lake Victoria lives up to that big favoritism of 8-5.
Yeah, I did the Friday card last night. It's available at the racedaylasvegas.com website, Ralph. So I have completed the my Friday report, and I took a look at that race. And I'll give out one of the horses that from my report. I made Lake Victoria my best bet on the card. The rail draw for Ryan Moore and Aidan O'Brien on this filly at a mile on the grass is such a huge advantage because you know if you're familiar with the way the mile layout is at Del Mar, whether it's turf or dirt, you get that short run into the first turn, and here you got a horse who, draws the cozy rail. As long as Ryan Moore breaks okay from the rail, he should be able to protect his position, whether he goes to the front or whether he tries to sit a pocket trip, but he'll save every inch of ground. So in all candor, Ralph, even though there's all kinds of long shots in this race and on this day, I made Lake Victoria my best bet on the Friday card.
What about that 5-2 shot thought process? Because here's what's going to happen. As you and I both know, and you were talking about the configuration, the turf course sits inside of the 1 mile dirt track. So the turns are tighter and they come up quick.
Yes.
And when you break from the mile, if this horse breaks well, this horse is going to be making a nice, quick, real sharp, like left turn. And all the other horses that are trying to get position are going to be feathered out. And some of them are going to be going wide. But Hector Barrios, as you know, is just his forte is riding the turf courses in Southern California. He's so good at positioning a horse on the turf course in Southern California. And he rides the second choice at 5-2. What's that look? Is that a lock 'em up exacta for us?
Yeah, in the old days of Las Vegas, I remember there used to be the House Quinella, a lock 'em up few. So maybe if Donnie Bader's looking down on this, Ralph, this might be one of his lock-em-up cues for Friday. But, thought process has done an awful lot. Looks to be the best among the domestic horses in this race. Barrios has a way of finding the rail. I know the horse drew the seven post, but Hector Barrios, he's got a lot of European blood in him because he always seems to find the rail. Mm-hmm. And it's not by accident. You see a lot of the top jockeys like an Ired Ortiz or a Flavien Prat. They also think the same way, especially on the grass. They try to get to the rail, even if it means giving up some position early in the race. They want to get inside because they know how much saving ground and getting good position does for them. So, that's the kind of ride I think Hector's going to try. He may not be as forwardly placed as the one Lake Victoria, but in the stretch run, it's going to be who gets a clean trip. When you got 14 horses, you're going to have a lot of traffic. You're going to have a lot of trouble into the first turn, and also at the top of the stretch as people try to find race position. But these are the two best horses by far in this field.
All righty. We will take a look quickly at some of the other ones. The first of the Breeders' Cup races on Friday will be the sixth race at Del Mar, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint. We have a scratch in number one out on bail. Number one out on bail has been scratched. Favoritism in the race. This is a wide-open event, really. The favorite at 7-2 is Encore Siege with Mr. Lemaire aboard. And then you have pretty much a wide open field from there. I got a feeling I like a horse that may not even get in the race. The 14 horse Smash It at 20-1 with Juan Hernandez. If that horse gets in the race, I think that price is too big. But we still have to wait until that also eligible makes it in the field. But the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf Sprint, as we know, just going to be one turn. It's going to move one quick turn, and so the outside horses really either if they have gas. Or they have to try to find traffic, I think. Otherwise, they're going to be faded out.
Yeah, this is the first of the Breeders' Cup races with the one out of Bally scratching. I guess that means the 13 Pally Kitten is the first draw in. So for 14 Smash It to draw into the field, another horse is going to have to declare from the field. One thing about the 2 days, Ralph, we have a tremendous horses from coming from Europe, coming from Japan, and I really think, as an overall trend, I really think, I'm going to walk the limb. I think the Europeans and the Japanese are going to do very, very well, Ralph,
I do too.
In these 2 days. I really think they've sent a strong contingent. Mm-hmm. You see Charlie Appleby, and you see Aidan O'Brien, and some, Archie Watson, some of these other trainers coming in from Europe. And the Japanese horses, Ralph, they are loaded. They are absolutely loaded. And I know on Saturday, the main race will be the Classic.
Yeah.
But the Japanese are loaded for bear. And, you know, they'll be going there, too. But, my top choice in this race, I'll give away a price horse. But I went for the 12 Ides of March in this sixth race, the Juvenile Turf Sprint.
All right. To go quickly, just to set up the races, the seventh race will be the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Scratch the seven, non-compliance. The favorite at 5-2 is Scottish Lass with Jose Lascano breaking from post 10 of 10. We already talked about the Breeders' Cup Filly Turf. The Breeders' Cup Juvenile. I believe that the Breeders' Cup Juvenile is going to be the most competitive race on the entire card. In this race, you have East Avenue, 5-2. Getaway Car, one of the three Baffert horses. This horse is 20-1 on the morning line with Juan Hernandez. Ferocious. We all know the billing that this horse has gotten with Javi Castellano at 6-1. Jonathan's Way, a big winner in his last race. 9-2 with Rosario aboard. You have Citizen Bull and Gaming, the other two Baffert runners in the race. And you got Chance McPatrick on the outside at 3-1, Flavian Pratt in the 10-horse field. This is going to be a real goodie, isn't it?
Yeah, this is really a strong group. And the favorite, East Avenue, draws the rail with Tyler Gaffalione should be able to get a ground-saving trip. But, you know, Ralph, when I took a look at this race, I really liked the horses that were shipping in from the East Coast, you know, East Avenue. Jonathan's Way ran a huge race at Churchill Downs in his prep. And yep. Chancellor McPatrick, you know, the 10-horse, Chancellor McPatrick, usually two-year-olds, when they excel, usually show a lot of speed. This horse has been coming like, you know, a miniature Silky Sullivan type of race. At the top of the stretch, you can barely find him, and then he's motoring on the outside. So a very, very interesting angle. And I'll give a hint on this race, Ralph. I did not pick Bob Baffert 1, 2, or 3.
All righty. And then, of course, the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Turf, another crapshoot on the turf for the two-year-olds, an overflow field of 16. Of course, some are AEs will have to get in the race. But the morning line goes to European horse New Century, and then Henry Maltese. If that one gets in, is at 6-1, and it's going to be a really open crapshoot. There's a horse that I like in this race that's 15-1, and that is Noble Confessor with Tyler Gaffalione.
Yeah, this is a race that has a lot of European blood, a lot of European horses in it, Ralph. And you know, the thing about the mile and the grass again. Turns are a little tighter than the Europeans are used to, and people who've watched Del Mar over the years, it's not the best track in the world, a turf course, for coming from way, way back. Mm-hmm. So I think some of these European jockeys are going to have to adjust a little bit, because if they're going to try to pick up 8 or 10 lanes from the top of the stretch in, that's a tough test.
Well, and that's, of course, on Friday, the two-year-old. So we're going to take a quick break. Rich, I'm going to hold you over on the other side. We're going to go quickly. Just an overlook of the races on Saturday, because we are, you know, we'll set some time for a couple of picks at the Churchill Downs, including yours as well. And we'll be right back, so don't go away.
Tunnel Stowers helps so many people. As a player of the Mets, I feel like for me, I have a responsibility to give back, especially to a cause that's authentically New York. And I just want to show appreciation for those brave men and women who really do a massive service, not just in New York, but everywhere. Hey, I'm Pete Alonso. Let's go Mets, and let's help the Tunnel to Towers Foundation.
Go to T2T.org for more information about how your donation can make a difference.
Thank you, buddy. There are many families that need your help. I'm Mark Wahlberg, and I'm asking you to support the Tunnel to Towers Foundation and their efforts to deliver mortgage-free homes to catastrophically injured service members, Gold Star, and fallen first responders families with young children, as well as eradicating homelessness amongst our veterans.
Everybody knows where the money's going. Every single dollar. God bless you.
Please contribute $11 a month to support their efforts by visiting T2T.org.
Thank you. South Point is also proud to provide a variety of relaxing amenities for the guests who want to be pampered. Soak up the sun and let your stress melt away in our lagoon-style paradise swimming pool. A relaxing getaway where you can bask in the desert sun and enjoy seasonal food and bar service poolside. And if you really want to escape, come to Spa Costa del Sur. From couple suites to a co-ed wet area, our spa caters to business and leisure travelers who want to unwind and elevate their senses. A visit to one of our spa's steam, sauna, or whirlpool treatment rooms will leave any guest feeling like they can take on the world.
The Race Day Las Vegas Show, the only exclusive daily local media racing information source in Las Vegas.
All righty, back on Race Day Las Vegas. We do have racing today, and it's at Churchill Downs. And at Churchill Downs, I got a couple of picks for you. Jonathan Ardoon, who's in transit right now somewhere in the air between New York and Las Vegas for the show that we're going to have at 4 o'clock this afternoon, leaves me a pick for you at Churchill Downs today. Comes in the seventh race, number 7, Islander. Number 7, Islander in the seventh race is Jonathan Hardoon's pick for you today. Seventh race, Churchill, number 7. And he has a full sheet, by the way, at his website for today at Churchill. And, Rich, I do believe that you even have a selection for us at Churchill Downs today.
I did take a look at some of the simulcast today. Ralph, My Horse comes in race number 9, 6.5 furlongs on the main track. It's an allowance race with a $127,000 purse.
Wow.
I went with the number 9 horse, Senior Officer. If you saw the replay of this race, or actually I saw this race off the television, this horse looked like didn't have a snowball's chance in the heck at the top of the stretch and passed the entire field on the outside under Florent Giroux. This looks like a very, very nice animal. I'm looking for a repeat, 9, Senior Officer.
All right, in the ninth race, number 9, Senior Officer, the 9 in the ninth race. So easy to remember, Jonathan has the 7 in the seventh, and you've got the 9 in the ninth at Churchill Downs today. Getting back to the Breeders' Cup and the draw and the entries, big race on Saturday. Hopefully the rain will stay away. The first of the Breeders' Cup races will be the fourth on the card, the Filly Mare Sprint. You got a field of 10 in there. The highlighted horses will be Ways and Means, the favorite at 5-2 on the morning line. You got Vava there at 4-1, Society at 3-1, Zeitlos at 6-1. Looks like to be a pretty competitive race. Richie, I don't want you to give away all of your selections, so I'm just going to go through those races, highlight some of the favorites. When we're done, I'll have your thought or two on anything you have on Saturday. We move to the seventh race, the Breeders' Cup Turf. In that race, Rebel's Romance, one of the European horses, 5-2 with William Buick. And you got Farbridge in there at 6-1 with Rosario, and a 13 horses entered in that race. The Breeders' Cup Classic, the main event for $7 million, comes up in the eighth race with 3 other Breeders' Cup races to follow because of television restrictions. In the eighth race, the Breeders' Cup Classic, 15 were entered. There'll be several also eligibles. One of them will be Next, who drew post 14, so he needs a little help getting in the race at 8-1. But the favorite there is City of Troy, the horse that's got all of these press releases and all that. Aiden O'Brien says best horse he's ever trained, and that you don't take that too lightly. This will be the first time on the dirt for this horse, though. And City of Troy is not 5-2 with Ryan Moore aboard. Forever Young, the Japanese horse that, you said the contingent is, remember, he was third and only beaten a head and a nose in the Kentucky Derby. Forever Young makes it back. He'll draw post 1 at 6-1. And then, of course, you got Fierceness, who is the overall favorite at 3-1 with John Velasquez. He drew post 9, and again, 15 are entered in that race. In the Breeders' Cup Filly Mare Turf, that will follow that at 1 3/8 on the turf. There you have Warlike Goddess, very well known in the stakes competition here in America, is at 5-2, the favorite with Junior Alvarado. Cinderella's Dream, one of the European horses, at 4-1 with William Buick aboard. Anisette is there at 15-1, Anisette, and she does well on Southern California turf courses with Umberto Rispoli. And Flavian Pratt will be astride the Canadian, the former Canadian Horse of the Year, Moira, at 8-1. A field of 13 there. The 10th race will be the Breeders' Cup Sprint. In this race, you've got Federal Judge at 3-1 with Ired Ortiz Jr., Straight No Chaser at 5-1 with John Velasquez, Mulligan at 7-2 with Flavian Pratt, a pretty wide open Breeders' Cup Sprint. 11 are in that race before scratches. And the Breeders' Cup Mile will be the final race on the card. And in that final race on the card, you've got at Mile on the Turf, on the turf, that is Notable Speech, 7-2 with William Buick, another one of those Europeans. Johannes, a horse that's been great on the turf in Southern California, at 9-2. And Carl Speckler, a big winner of his last race, at 6-1 in that one. So you've got all of those races coming up. And, of course, again, I guess maybe one of the biggest favorites on the day will be in the Breeders' Cup Turf Sprint. That'll be Cogburn at 7-5. That'll be the fifth race. Brad Sell is in that at 7-2, and Mortorius at 8-1, and Overflow Field at 15 entered in that one as well. So overall, it's going to be one heck of a championship day of racing on Saturday at Del Mar. And Richie, we will have you on, of course, for the next couple of days, and we'll get your thoughts of those races on Saturday as we move through the week. And again, you have two featured reports that are available for Breeders' Cup Friday and Saturday, right?
Yes, they're available at the racedaylasvegas.com website. Friday is up and ready. I completed that last night,
right,
and I'll have the Saturday card probably done by the end of tonight. They're also posted, obviously, at brisnet.com, who's I actually do it for, but I have it available for all the horse players who watch the racedaylasvegas.com show, Ralph. It'll be available on the homepage.
All right. Well, we'll continue tomorrow with your thoughts about some of the other races on Saturday, the big day. But I want to thank you so much for being with us today on what I believe to be the most challenging of the two-day Breeders' Cup Championships, and that is the Future Stars. And sometimes we can't see a Future Star coming until the race, that's for sure. Thanks a lot, Rich.
Hey, thanks, Ralph. Good luck, everybody.
All right, we're going to wrap the show up today with Mr. Jerry Jackowitz. And the first question we have to ask, Jerry, is now that the entries have been taken for the 2 days in Breeders' Cup, are you starting your work on Breeders' Cup?
Yeah, I am, actually. I started yesterday afternoon. I got through about the first five races of Saturday. I'm going to probably go through them today the first time, and then I'm going to work on by the middle of the day, I'll be working on Thursday's, tomorrow's card for tomorrow and Friday, get back in sequence. But I did want to get a little head start on Saturday's card.
So. Did you get to the Breeders' Cup Classic, and your first go-round is Fierceness, deserved 3-1 favorite in that race?
I haven't done it, but my offhand belief is if Del Mar remains as it did over the summer, sort of speed favoring,
yeah,
for sure.
Okay. I don't want to ask you too much more because you're doing through your preliminaries right now for them. As we move through the week, obviously I will. But let me ask you this. There are like a multitude of betting pools that people can get in, from the two-day betting pools from races on Friday to Saturday, from the pick sixes, the pick three, pick four, pick five, all the crazy pools, more than practically any other time of the year anywhere. Your suggestion on how people should handle the more options that they have in the pool. Should they stay the way they normally do, or because on Breeders' Cup 2 days, people are going to want to reach out and maybe try another pool or two.
Yeah, I have a personal story on that you probably could fill an entire book. It goes back to Arcane in 1993. Mm-hmm. I was, actually betting at the Meadowlands. Yeah. If I recall correctly, there was a Philadelphia pool, there was a national pool, and there was the California pool.
Okay.
And so at the time, I was was the favorite with McCarron. Bertrando was the favorite in the Arcane race. So I sort of bet against, I wanted to make sure that the money I bet on Bertrando to win was not in the California pool. And the money I was betting on Arcane was in the California
pool. All right, we're going to have to hold that up.
Believe me, I can't tell you how many times I've made mistakes and had to go back and rebuy tickets.
Okay.
But I got it right at the end, but it's not easy.
I want to remind everybody real quick that we'll continue with that story. I didn't know it was going to be a long story. I just wanted to ask if you thought that people should play the pools or not. But you can give us the story tomorrow. And we will continue with that, that's for sure. But in the meantime, I want to remind everybody, we're back here at YouTube at 4 o'clock with the Breeders' Cup special show. Be here. Don't miss it. Jerry, say it.